Hello and welcome to the UK Personal Finance Show with Phil Anderson, the podcast designed to give you all the financial advice you'll ever need. This is episode 147, where in a moment, we're looking into joint borrower, sole proprietor mortgages. That's in just a second, as I say. But please bear in mind, if you have a general financial query, you're in the right place because we have an enormous resource of free advice right here. And you can access it all simply through delving into our back catalogue of shows. Because in our programmes today, we featured loads of stuff. Mortgages, investing, wills and powers of attorney and heaps more. You name it, we've done it pretty much. And last time we looked into where's the best place for your money. Find the UK Personal Finance Show with Phil Anderson on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get us there. Like I say, an enormous resource, all available for free. Find our previous shows after listening to this one and have a binge on what you need. While you're there, if you could rate and review us, for instance, you could tell us what we need to address to help you out and follow the show. And in that way, you'll get that episode when we record it next time. I'm John Ellis. Joining me in place of Phil for this week, one of his colleagues at Phil Anderson Financial Services, guest expert Laura Stephen. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Now, in case you missed it, Laura was actually the subject of her own episode of the podcast just a few episodes ago when we were looking at careers for women in financial services. And I would strongly recommend you take a listen to that one because it's a good show. But for now, Laura, maybe you can recap for us slightly your journey from starting out in finance to what you're doing now.
So, yeah, I've kind of always dipped in and out of finance. I left school at age 16 and went into accounts, which is technically still finance. Did that for a few years, met Phil when I was 18, working at an estate agency. He was a mortgage advisor there. I was a property assistant for 5 years, then went back to accounts for a while, had my kids, then met up with Phil in the gym one day and asked if he had any jobs going because I wanted to get back into work. Started working for him as an admin assistant over 7 years ago. Slowly been doing some exams over that last 5 years, I would say. Now I'm a qualified independent mortgage advisor and I'm halfway through my full independent financial exams as well, but that will take a little while to complete them. But at the moment, I'm doing mortgage advising.
Okay. We're talking about joint borrower sole proprietor mortgages today, which is a bit of a mouthful. We'll look at those in detail in a moment. But first of all, how's the mortgage market in general right now, Laura?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really busy with people want to review their mortgages because the rates are obviously going up. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We're hoping things are going to kind of take a peak and slow down, but we just don't know at the moment. That's the thing. Until inflation comes down, the interest rates aren't really going to stabilize. So we just have to kind of help our clients out as best we can and give them advice on the here and now. So yeah, that's it really.
It's a scary place for folk coming off a fixed rate deal and suddenly finding when they do that they're going to be potentially spending hundreds of pounds more per month. And I suppose with the general cost of living crisis, there'll be folk too possibly just hoping to remortgage or maybe settle any debts that they might have rung up.
Yeah, we've had a lot of inquiries about debt consolidation. It is something we can look at when you do your remortgage. So we can consolidate debt into a remortgage, depending on the equity you've got in your property. But it's also something we can look at any time, debt consolidation. I would urge anyone that's struggling at the moment or worried about their financial situation to get in touch with a financial advisor because it's really easy to spiral debt out of control and you really don't want to get into a situation where you've got defaults on mortgages or credit cards because it will affect your credit rating in the future. So yeah, if anyone's in any kind of problem with debt or you just want some financial advice, you want us to look at your mortgage, just get in touch and we can do that for you anytime.
Okay, let's get on to today's topic because, again, this may well be something not that widely known as an option, which could potentially allow you to spend more on a property than you might otherwise be able to afford. So what is a joint borrower sole proprietor mortgage, Laura?
So, yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? And it sounds quite complicated, but basically the joint borrowers would be the people on the mortgage. But the proprietor is the person that actually lives in the property and owns the property. So it basically means that you can add another person onto your mortgage, which would allow you to be able to afford a bit more for a property. So take into consideration a first-time buyer can maybe on their own only afford £80,000 mortgage. So their parent, brother, sister, family member, sometimes a friend, depending on the lender, they can come on as a joint borrower. They can use their income in the affordability, and it just boosts up how much you can actually borrow. But it does mean that that person is liable for the mortgage.
So,
as well.
Yeah. Who's it for? I mean, who applies for them? You mentioned first-time buyers there, but is there anyone else? Does it appeal to a specific type of person?
No, I mean, it doesn't have to be a first-time buyer. It can be anyone that wants to, that can't afford the property that they're in, basically. Yep. So, yeah. But it's basically there to allow the person to afford a higher price property, basically. It just boosts up their affordability. But there is tight criteria with regards to all.
Well, let's get on to some of that. I mean, first of all, are the interest rates on this different from more standard mortgages?
No, they're exactly the same. It's just a standard mainstream mortgage rate, but there's only a few lenders that do it.
Okay. And which lenders do that type of mortgage then?
So the main lenders are Skipton, Barclays, Clydesdale Bank, and Accord Mortgages.
Okay. In terms of credit history, I mean, you have to have a good credit history for any mortgage, but, you know, does it need to be especially shining for this type of mortgage?
No, you just have to have the usual good credit history. So it's just, as a mainstream mortgage, you would still have to have passed the credit checks with the lender. So it's exactly the same as any other mortgage.
Okay, but the credit checks in this instance are for both people who are in, obviously.
Yeah, because you're both on the mortgage, it needs to be both of you that goes through those checks.
And do you have to pay additional stamp duty or, no, was it land and buildings transaction tax? I think that's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you have to pay extra on that sort of purchase if the joint borrower already has a property of their own?
No. So this is the good thing about the joint borrower sole proprietor mortgage. You're not actually on the title deeds. It's the first-time buyer or the main person that is on the title deeds. The second borrower is just on the mortgage. So technically, they're not owning the property. So there's no additional dwelling tax. And the stamp duty would be based on the person that's going on the title deeds.
Okay. And
it would be the first time buyer.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we're looking at this, I mean, the more that we talk about this, the more it sounds like it does have to be someone, you know, like a great aunt. Well, in our family, it's great auntie Margaret. It would have to be someone that you know, because there really is nothing in it to be gained for the person who is stumping up with the cash, other than the knowledge that they've helped one of their family members, for instance. It used to be, now there was something called guarantor mortgages for a while. Do you still get those?
It's not really a thing anymore. You do still get them, but it tends to be for young professionals like doctors, accountants that are maybe in training positions where they're going to be qualified further down the line. But again, there's minimum income, there's very tight criteria with regards to that, and there's different circumstances. So you do still get them, but they're very few and far between that lenders will look at them now.
So what are the advantages then of a joint property sole proprietor mortgage?
Close family members can help you buy a home. You can then take over the mortgage in the future. So say 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you come to remortgage, maybe you earn more. Maybe your debt's paid off. Maybe the rates have come down. So it just means when you do a remortgage, you can then do it on your own. You don't need that joint borrower status anymore. So that person can then come off the mortgage and it's just you on your own. There's no stamp duty liability like we spoke about, or additional dwelling for the additional borrower. It means you can get on the property ladder sooner than maybe you could if you did it yourself. And yeah, you can access a wide range of mortgages, basically, that are on mainstream. You're not limited to the types of mortgages. Like with certain other mortgages you get, you're limited to, you know, a criteria of a certain type of mortgage. So this is mainstream mortgage rates that you're paying.
Okay. And for every pro, there must be a con. So what are the disadvantages here?
So all the borrowers will have joint responsibility for repayments. So if the repayments aren't kept up by the person, the sole proprietor, the person living in, then the second borrower is liable for those payments. The mortgage lender can also restrict who lives in the property as well. If you're a joint borrower, you can't necessarily live in the property. You can't use it with other housing schemes like the LIFT scheme, shared ownership, help to buy schemes. It's only a standard residential purchase. You can't use it for anything else. And the older borrower, so say it's your dad that's going on the mortgage with you as a joint borrower, it's limited to the age of the oldest borrower. So if the oldest borrower is 50, it means you can only have your term to 20 years, depending on the lender, 25 years, depending on the maximum age for the lender criteria. So it does take down your term, which means that your payments could be higher.
So my family's instance, that puts the kibosh on me getting it done, because great auntie Margaret is mid-90s now, so that's not really going to happen. Yeah. And as you mentioned there, if you fall behind with the payments for whatever reason, the onus is on the other person to make sure that that doesn't happen. That's the deal, is it?
Yeah, basically, because they're on the title. Well, not on the title. They're on the mortgage deed. So they're joint liability for the mortgage.
Okay. A number of things sort of rise in your mind, and some of them I've thought about in advance, and some of them are coming to me now. So we'll see what happens when we do this. But if one of you were to die during the term of the mortgage, I suppose that falls into the category. Is there anything else you should consider?
Yeah, I mean, you should always have some sort of life cover in place if you have a mortgage. Life or earlier critical illness cover, income protection. You know, I lost my parents at a really young age. Dad died when I was 16, my mum when I was 23. Yeah. I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't be in the house I'm in if my parents didn't have life critical illness cover. So yeah, I would always urge that you insure your dog, you insure your car, you insure phone. But a lot of people don't think about themselves. They don't insure themselves. It's really important when you've got a mortgage, because if something was to happen to you, how would you pay your mortgage every month? Or how would your family be able to pay the mortgage every month if you're the main breadwinner? So yeah, I would urge that you definitely look to speak to someone about life or early critical illness, income protection. There's lots of different insurances you can get out there. Get a quote, speak to a financial advisor and see if they can help you, because it's definitely worth looking into.
And in terms of deposits, what sort of deposit do you put down? How does that work for this mortgage?
So it's just like a mainstream mortgage. Basically, you could put down 5, 10, 15% deposit. You do need a deposit. It's not like the 100% mortgages that you can get with other lenders. You have to basically put down a deposit. So you would need a minimum 5% deposit.
Okay. And just while we're on the subject of mortgages in general, and you mentioned the 100% mortgage there. In a recent show, Phil did the same. It was 100% mortgage from Skipton, I think it was. How's that going?
Yeah, really good. I have had a lot of inquiries with regards to the Skipton ones. I actually put through an application and got it offered, and my client's moving into her flat in a few weeks.
Oh, yay.
Skipton 100% mortgage, and it sailed through. There was no issues. All they asked for was 12 months bank statements, sure there was no credit issues, that she had paid her rent for the last 18 months. And it sailed through. And it was Skipton were really easy to deal with. So yeah, it's definitely something that's worth looking into if you need, if you don't have a deposit and you've been renting.
Because we've spoken in the past, Phil and I, about how mortgage products can go on at the start of the week and be off before the end. And that, you know, quite often that happens in this sort of environment. One other thing that crossed my mind, going back to the joint borrower, sole proprietor mortgages, if, for instance, given the cost of living crisis or whatever, or say you lost your job and you're the name on your own mortgage, we're not talking about a joint borrower sole proprietor mortgage. What I'm wondering is it possible for that person to fly in and you to change your mortgage? Say you were with one of these four borrowers, four lenders that are doing it. Is it possible for someone to fly in and sort of save the day and for it to become and switch to a joint borrower sole proprietor mortgage midway through the life of your time in that property?
I don't think that can happen. Come across that yet, but it's not to say that it wouldn't be. But I think it's generally for purchases or possibly remortgages to do, but it's not something I've come across yet.
Okay.
As I say, it's very niche, and there is only four lenders.
This is the thing I always say to Phil, never be afraid to ask a stupid question. If there's anyone that's going to do it, Laura, it will always be me. Finally, maybe you can just do a sort of brief recap for us on all this. That joint borrower sole proprietor mortgages, who are they for? How do they work? Plus points and negatives.
So in a nutshell, they're for people that are unable to borrow as much as they would hope for in order to buy a property. So that could be due to low income, it could be debt that they've got, and that basically reduces the amount they can actually borrow. The borrowers are, it says joint borrowers. So it's basically whoever is on the mortgage are named on the mortgage deed, but the person who actually lives in the property and is on the title deeds is the proprietor, which is one of the borrowers. It sounds very complicated, but it's really not. So the usual checks are done with the lender: affordability, age, credit, the property's value to make sure it fits for the mortgage purposes. The plus points are that this allows a family member to buy a home that they might not be able to on their own. In the future, they can remortgage in their own name. They can take the joint borrower off if their financial situation improves. The rates aren't different to other types of mortgages. It's exactly the same rates as other people are getting. And there's no additional fees with the lender. So it doesn't cost you anything extra to go for a joint borrower, so proprietor mortgage. The negatives is that this will affect the second borrower's affordability on their own borrowing. So say they have gone into a mortgage with their daughter's son through the joint borrower, sole proprietor. Maybe their own mortgage is due to be up, and maybe they want to do additional borrowing on their own property. That could possibly stop being able to do that. So it's something you would really have to consider. You do actually need to get independent legal advice separately for the joint borrower in order to go ahead with it. A lot of the lenders ask for a solicitor to sign off to say that they've given you independent legal advice, because it is, you are basically getting into buying another property with someone and you're liable for that. So you want to make sure that you know what you're getting into, basically. It can also take a number of years for the main borrower to be able to afford the property on their own. So you might be on that mortgage for a while. So that's something else you have to consider as well. And the term is obviously restricted to the oldest borrower's age. So if you are 27 and the second borrower who's helping you out is 50, your term is reduced to 20 years, 25 years, depending on the lender's maximum age. So you have to consider that, because that could make your payments a bit higher than it would if you were on your own.
Is the likelihood of this mortgage that it wouldn't last the duration of, so say it's a 25-year mortgage, the thinking is that somewhere within that term, you as the person living in the property are going to be able to turn around to the other person and say, well, actually, I can afford this on my own now. Thank you so much for all your help, but we're going to take it on. It's just going to be my mortgage. Is that the expectancy?
Yeah, most of the people, clients that I've spoken to, they just want to give their children or their family members a boost just to buy that property. You know, they're maybe in their 20s and you know, they really don't want to be still living at mum and dad's home.
And mum and dad probably don't want them there either, yeah.
They're going, right, what time you got out? And that's the thing. It's given people an extra hand to be able to move out and get on the property ladder. So yeah, I think it's something that they can take over on their own eventually. And I would never, I would hope never to see someone still in a mortgage, joint borrower, sole proprietor mortgage, like 10 years plus into having that mortgage. It generally is just there for affordability. And the rates will hopefully come down in the future, and affordability will get easier for, you know, first-time buyers, for everyone, I'm hoping. But I wish I had a crystal ball.
Right. So for the time being, there are four lenders that are doing it, and if things stay the way that they are in terms of the interest rates, or God help us if they get worse, do you think there are likely to be more lenders coming onto market with this particular offering?
Yeah, possibly. Accord Mortgages only came out last week with the joint borrower sole proprietor criteria, so I didn't know about them until last week. So yeah, they've just come on board. So I would imagine so. There'll be more lenders jumping on that, especially if they see that their maybe first-time buyers numbers are dwindling because of affordability. They might say, well, how can we address this? And they'll look at what other lenders are doing. They'll kind of see where the market share is going. And I would imagine a lot more lenders will jump on this in the future.
Okay. All right. Next, it's time for the quote of the week. Now, Phil's always been a fan and collector of quotes for as long as I've known him. And Laura's come up with one in Phil's absence. So on the topic for this week, joint borrower, sole proprietor mortgages. Laura, what you got?
So everyone needs a house to live in, but a supportive family is what builds a home.
Wow. See, I like that. Now, Phil is really keen on trying to help you out with your query. So if ever you want to email a question to us, please do. And as always, we can ask them anonymously if that's what you prefer. Now, let's get on to this week's contact details to get in touch with us coming up in just a bit. I'll give it to you after this. The first one's from Damien, who says, I'm worried about my mortgage payments going up as I'm coming towards the end of a fixed rate. What should I do? This is Damien and pretty much half the rest of the nation, I'd imagine. What's the way forward here, Laura?
So if you're within 6 months of your current rate coming to an end, then get in touch with a mortgage advisor. Most lenders will allow you to fix a new rate if you're within 6 months. So you can possibly do a product transfer with them straight away, as long as there's 6 months remaining. Some lenders are 4 months, but most have changed now to 6 months before. So you can also look at switching lenders. So we could, if the rates are better with another lender than what you're getting offered with your current lender, then we can look at doing that too. So yeah, basically speak to an independent mortgage advisor, get the advice, and they can guide you on what the best kind of rates are at the moment, depending on your property, your current mortgage, fees, that kind of thing. We can help you there.
Okay. Next up, here's one from Susan in Ballater, who asks, is it best to go for a fixed rate at the moment on my mortgage or go for a variable rate? I like the idea of knowing what I would pay each month. Also, is it better to fix for 2, 3, or 5 years?
So with regards to fixing your rate or being on a variable rate, the rates are really erratic at the moment. So I would advise fixing a rate. The variable rates are much higher. Some are over 2% higher than the fixed rates just now. So you would notice a difference in your payments. And also with a variable rate, you don't know what you're going to be paying every month because it's going to go up and down with the variable rate of the lender. So they could put that up at any time. And then that could jump depending on what the Bank of England rate is at the time. So I would always suggest fixing a rate because you know exactly what you're paying every month for that period. So whether it's a 2-year, 3-year, or 5-year fixed rate, you know exactly what you're paying for that length of time, and you can budget for that. With regards to the 2, 3, or 5-year fixed rates, which one to choose, it really depends on your situation and how you feel about the interest rates in the future. You know, do you want to take the gamble and fix for a 5-year? And then in 2 years, the rates come shooting down and you're overpaying your mortgage, basically. Or do you want to fix it for 2 years in the hope that the rates do come down? And then in 2 years, when you remortgage, you're hoping to save yourself money and the rates will be a lot more than they are now. So it's that gamble you have to take. So it really is difficult to say without assessing your situation and knowing exactly how you feel about, you know, your monthly payments. If you need monthly payments to stay the same for 5 years, maybe you're planning on having kids, maybe, you know, there's uncertainty about things in your life, then yeah, fix for a longer period. It's as I say, it's really hard to say just now. I wish I had a crystal ball and I could tell you what the rates are going to be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, but it really is dependent on your situation. So it's best to come in, see an advisor, sit and discuss that with them, and yeah, have a look at the different rates as well. The 5-year fix tend to be cheaper than the 2 years at the moment, because that's just the way the markets are and the uncertainty of where things are going to go. So the lenders want to fix you in for longer. But as I say, you're better to sit down with a mortgage advisor and go through all that with them, and they'll be able to guide you best.
Yeah, so if you look at a 5-year, then it's going to give you a better monthly rate than a 2-year right now. Is that what you're saying?
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you want to be fixed in for 5 years?
Yeah.
If the rates come down.
It's like a game show gamble, isn't it? That's what it's like at the moment.
It's difficult because you do get some 3-year fixed deals, which I think is kind of a happy medium. I have put a few clients into 3-year fixed at the moment. But again, it's limited on the lenders that will do 3-year fixed, because I'd say about 80% of them only do 2 or 5 year fixed. So if you do go for a 3-year, you're limited on your lenders.
Okay. Would you say as well, before you get in touch with a question, you might want to take a look at our back catalogue, because we've covered a fair few topics so far and we may well have touched on what you're interested in. I'm Joe Mellis. Thank you for joining us for episode 147 of the UK Personal Finance Show with Phil Anderson. And thank you also to our guest expert for this episode, Phil's colleague, Laura Stephen from Phil Anderson Financial Services. If you feel you need a helping hand with anything we've been discussing or anything else of a monetary matter, find Phil for Finance. Search Phil Anderson Financial Services online or join the Facebook group for the show. Search Personal Finance Community. That's Personal Finance Community on Facebook. Phil's on Twitter and LinkedIn too. Or why not email Phil a question you can answer on a future show. His address is phil@philandersonfinancial.co.uk. That's phil@philandersonfinancial.co.uk. Send him your question and Phil could be answering it in an upcoming podcast. And please be assured we won't use your real name if that's how you prefer it. Remember, if you found this useful, please rate and recommend us. And please follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcast. Then you'll get us every week with the info you want when you need it. You'll get all the links you need on Phil's social media. Good luck with your money. Phil's doing his best to help make that cash go further. We'll see you next time, and thanks for listening.